Andrew, good morning.
Hey, Tess, how are you?
I'm going really well. How are you?
I'm pretty good. I'm pretty good, I'd say. Yeah.
What are we looking at this week?
Okay, so today I'm finally bringing you the second of the books that I've recently read that feature altercations in golf club car parks.
Oh, yes, the golf club car park brawl.
I'm pretty... It's not even a brawl. We've built this up so much.
It's absolutely not what it's about.
I'm pretty sure I've grossly misrepresented this book. This is not some weirdly niche genre that I've discovered. Although men fighting in golf club car parks is like a startling symbol of the patriarchy. Today's book is Claire Varley's The Book of Ordinary People. It's a book that centres around the interwoven lives of a group of strangers in Melbourne's northern suburbs.
Okay.
And look, there is so much to love about this book, but as I started thinking about what I wanted to share with you, it occurred to me that The Book of Ordinary Things is also the perfect cure for the malaise of a kind of negative attentional bias that affects us every day. So just a quick primer. When I say attentional bias, I'm talking about this psychological process we go through wherein we pay undue attention to things that seem to pop up more often and demand our attention, or give undue weight to certain things, often to our own detriment. So, you know, in our connected world, it's easy to imagine that everyone's on holiday but us. Everyone's doing enormously life-changing work but us. And everyone is playing happy families but us. Facebook and all its social media ilk confront us with these images of polished lives and drive us away from the evidence of our everyday. And as a consequence, we can get pretty down on our ordinary lives. So in Claire Varley's The Book of Ordinary People, we're given the vantage to zoom in on a selection of lives, some like our own, some very different. So we meet Evangelina, she's mourning the death of her mother. DB, hanging on a promotion to afford the perfect life that he's constructing. There's Nell, a young lawyer, concerned that her reality is kind of failing to live up to the ideals that she held. Ada, she's Iranian and awaiting an asylum decision that will end her own personal purgatory. And Rick, a failing journalist hiding from his past. Each of these people is forced to live their daily life kind of trapped by a future or a past that they're trying to realise. And each is giving over pieces of now for that glimpse of tomorrow. So as a reader, we follow them from work to the cafe, we're invited to their kid's birthday, and we watch as the petting zoo turns out to be an obese rodent with a heart problem.
Oh, rough.
It dies.
We've all been there. Like, no, I think everyone's been to a disappointing petting zoo.
I don't think I have. I don't think I've been to many petting zoos. No, I think I've just been to regular zoos.
I mean, I've not been to such a disappointing petting zoo as the obese rat dies.
Yeah, but I mean, it, right there, you have this conception of the book, this high hope that we pin so much on, that then just becomes this sort of gross reality, and that's just everyday life. The Book of Ordinary People, it even begins in traffic as the entire transit system of Melbourne's north kind of grinds to a halt. And what better example of our shitty lives is traffic congestion?
Oh, love it.
So instead of pulling out a book and getting lost in another world, though, of course, we all tend to pull out our phone and watch lives far more perfect than ours in traffic purgatory. And so Claire Varley, she takes us into these lives as they circle each other around Melbourne and explores their varying reactions to events. I was transfixed as I saw sort of familiar sights viewed through these multiple perspectives, and I felt a kind of emotional turmoil as I confronted these diverging perspectives on an event. It's this amazing thing that novels do. We can look at something and it's always about what it does to us, even if we think we're an impartial observer. So to have these multiple perspectives, to see how it impacts different people, is so wonderful. It's so important. And how does this help us in our own lives? Well, it seems to me that when we view lives through the social media filter, or even explore the type of kind of hyper-real narrative the bingeable media gives us, we're triggering our capacity to over-attend to like this single stimulus. I mean, why wouldn't you go through your friend's photos of their recent trip to Tenerife? It looks beautiful, right? But couple that with the photos of your boss in Fiji and that Facebook memory that's just popped up reminding you that your last beach holiday, it was 6 years ago. And it starts to seem like everyone is having more fun than you. Then you look in the mirror, you think, how pasty does my skin look? And, you know, never mind that we've just finished winter. You're meant to look pasty.
Okay, good.
Mm. So attentional bias is our capacity to give too much credence to these views of life and ignore the fact that the person next to us in the cafe line looks just as tired as we do this morning. The Book of Ordinary People shows us that our everyday lives actually look a lot like the everyday lives of others, whilst also being widely different. We can see how our petty disagreements really are just kind of petty, but that our ideals are also able to make impacts, even if they're several times removed from our ability to notice them. This is a book about how we are both ordinary and wonderful at the same time. And that, in fact, that's exactly the point. As we bumble around trying to make a future, we are also guilty of ignoring the present until it crashes into us and we're forced to take notice. So that's the Book of Ordinary People. I loved it for, I mean, it's what it says on the cover. It's a book of ordinary people, but it shows us how those lives, and sort of by extension our lives, are extraordinary and exactly what we need, exactly what we want. We just don't really appreciate it.
Is it like a Jodi Picoult book where every chapter is from a different perspective, or does it switch a lot quicker than that?
It definitely does move chapter by chapter through perspectives. It was really kind of wonderful. Claire, she realizes these characters in such a vivid way that I found if we jumped between, say, three characters quite frequently, I'd start to miss and wonder what was happening to the others. She really does get you involved. She really does have you... there are cathartic elements to this book because you get so wrapped up in the moments. It teaches you how to live in moments.
Well, I mean, that is definitely something I think a lot of people have to learn as well.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. There's nothing wrong with enjoying wonderful events that other people are having around the world, as long as we don't think that that's the whole world and that's what our life should look like every day.
Do we have any idea what we're taking a look at next week?
So I'm actually away next week. I'm going to be on a course. I will return. But look, I wanted to let people know, though, if they're looking for books and if they're curious about the Book of Ordinary People and want to discover more, there is a conversation that I had with Claire Varley. It's on the Final Draft podcast.
Very nice. Yeah. We'll get the links up in this podcast.
Thank you so much.
Cheers for that, Andrew.